So one of the ushers left me a note on my water bottle. This water, with this water, you will thirst again. With the water of the Lord, the living water, he can put in a few drops that grow in faith and become an artesian well that overflows to everyone around you. You've heard the word of the Lord in the gospel. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Lord Jesus, you give the water of life. Pour it into our hearts even now. Bless us with firm faith and that deep conviction that can overwhelm all our worries and overflow with love, joy, and peace for those around us. Lord, be a blessing through us for your name's sake. Amen. In the name of him who is the greatest secret among treasures, dear family of God. Rhetorical question, you don't have to answer. You kids don't have to answer this either. Just think about it. Are you, in your heart of hearts, one of those treasure seekers? You seek treasure. So, pretty hard to pass up what comes into your inbox about all these possible. And then the warning is always there. You might have the winning number. And if you don't click on this and follow through all the advertisements that we want you to see, you might waste the winning number. And you're never going to get this number again. I'm not going to tell you there's billions of other ones out there, but you better see fear. Fear can be a major motivator, can't it? For treasure seekers. What about that young woman years ago? Boss bought raffle tickets. They're not marked, you know, for the winning one, so you get one. Who cares? Throw it in the dresser drawer. Weeks later, call from the local parish priest. You guessed it, she won. Bright red Cutlass Supreme with a white pinstripe. Hot car in those days. Couldn't even go pick it up. Didn't have her license. Brother had to drive her. Not a happy boss at the bakery who gave that ticket away. Or the priest who wasn't real happy to hear she was going to sell the car to pay for school to become a Lutheran school teacher. So you've got discontent, you've got jealousy, you've got fear, all motivators for treasure seekers, but not the faithful treasure seekers that the Lord is seeking. When he talked about living water in John 4 to the woman at Jacob's well, he also talked about the worshipers who worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, miracles in our hearts that only God can give. He works this miracle through his word. Why we're here today, he wants to give us two talents for real treasure seekers, the faithful kind that he makes. The first, generous. Wow. Generous? That's not a natural inclination for treasure seekers. I mean, can you ever imagine this happening? If you know a little Minnesota lore, St. Paul Winter Carnival, can you imagine someone who wrote down all those clues from the paper and then says to a friend, here, you take all my clues and my clippings. You go find the medallion. Maybe you'll find it sooner than I will. Maybe you need the $10,000 worse than I do. Huh? Ah, treasure seekers. Generous? No, it's usually me, myself, and I. Do you remember last week's gospel lesson on that farmer who had a problem? Last week's gospel lesson, the farmer that had a problem, was quoted as saying by Jesus in his parable, listen now, he thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I will say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? Me, myself, and I will lose against the Lord. And Jesus is pointing out how quickly all these things can pass away. Hearses don't have trailers, as you know. There is a better way, as Jesus points us, from those things of this world into the things of God and the treasure that can really last. Since there is that desire in all of our hearts, when God creates it, and you want to be generous, and as soon as you start to think about it, it's almost like a flock of crows comes in. What, what? They're all calling. What will you do with less? So you want to be generous, but... So right between last week's gospel lesson and the gospel in our sermon text today, Jesus tells that classic, do not worry devotion. I love how my Lord Jesus does this, because that way when I see the birds and I see the flowers, I'm reminded of his word. That's his point. The ravens, we would call them the crows maybe. They were so considered brainless and flighty, if I may say that, to the ancients that they believed that ravens couldn't even find their own nest. Can't find their way home. How are they going to build a barn? Jesus says, just look at them. They don't ever work. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. You're worth more than birds. The lilies of the field. I'm sure there are wildflower places in Minnesota where you can walk knee-deep in flowers still. Israel used to be like that. Dr. Brugge had a picture of his wife and son like 30 or 40 years ago walking through this beautiful hillside, probably where the people sat and Jesus was down in the boat preaching the Sermon on the Mount, all of that. Well, that was a different place, but the Beatitudes were there. But those hillsides, probably not there much anymore, but look at the flowers, Jesus says. That's the point. Solomon could not match the splendor of what they wear. God did that. Why do you worry about what you're going to wear or the shelter that you need or the car that you need to drive for that purpose? That shelter too in this day and age. Your heavenly Father knows. He clothes the flowers. Aren't you worth much more than that? The fear, the jealousy, the discontent, all of that Jesus wants to set aside and give you an ingredient that will make it so you can enjoy the treasure. You know what that ingredient is? Very simply, you trade fear for faith. Before he's going to say the gospel, he does this over and over again. He says, don't be afraid. He just told you, your Father knows that you need those things. Seek his kingdom. These things will be given you as well. So don't be afraid, little flock. Your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. And Jesus says, don't go looking for God's kingdom here or there. Don't listen if people say it's out there in the desert or someplace else. He says, the kingdom of God is within you. The Holy Spirit works that miracle in your heart by word and sacrament where he rules there. And you know what happens if you pour water into a container? Whatever else is in that container will float. You keep pouring in, everything else comes out. Pour enough of this living water into your heart, in your family devotions, in your personal devotions, your meditations, and it displaces the fear. And that's what the Lord is wanting to do for us today. Displace that fear. Pour in this wonderful thought that he gives you the kingdom and realize that God ruling in your heart brings all the blessings of his kingdom along. Everything that the human heart could desire comes when God rules in your heart. The peace for yesterday, the strength for today, the hope for tomorrow, all come when the Lord comes to rule in your heart and gives you the kingdom. Priceless blessings, money on earth, all the earth's riches could not buy a moment of the Lord's peace or strength or hope. He gives it freely, so don't be afraid. Now you can live life with abandon, in courage, realizing these things are passing away. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, don't have holes in them, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. Because, you know, taxes will take, inflation will steal, and even if you're investing in gold as a hedge against all the problems with the stock market, isn't it true that the bigger your Fort Knox, the bigger the gang of thieves that wants to take it from you? It's the way it is. Earthly goods can't even guard themselves. They make terrible idols. Money that is the god of this age, it can't even guard itself. How can money guard you? But your heavenly Father, who gives you the kingdom, says there are treasures in heaven, and where your treasure is, your heart will be there too. So your heart will follow your treasure. What's your treasure? One of my Greek dictionaries was dead wrong on this. Said the treasure was good works in heaven. That's not what the Bible says. All our righteous acts are like filthy rags. That's what the Bible says. The best of what we do. Nowhere does the Bible present good works as merits that you can store away in heaven, or if you don't have enough of your own, get them from the saints or from the church. No, no. You cannot displace the good works that God has already given in the perfect life of His Son, Jesus Christ. He is called by the prophets the Lord our righteousness. The prophet said this righteousness would come from God and be received by faith. When you have Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, by this miracle of faith that God gives through His Word and the sacrament of baptism as well, you possess the righteousness of Christ, and your bank account in heaven is full. All the righteousness that you need for an open heaven and loving arms are waiting, and the smiling face of Him who is your greatest treasure. Jesus, priceless treasure, fount of purest pleasure, dearest friend to me, because it's all wrapped up in Christ. And you can be generous. But He also wants you to be watchful. It's not that thieves can steal it. There's no moth or rust that can get at these treasures. Nothing can destroy Jesus now that He lives. The only real enemy, well, besides the devil in the world, but the worst one is right here. My own callousness, my carelessness, my unbelief that want to crowd out that treasure and then just, oh, take life easy then. The Lord says, no. Be watchful, dressed and ready for service, because the Son of Man will come at a time when you least expect Him. That statement alone ought to tell the millennialists that they're on the wrong track. Those who spin their theories of a thousand-year reign of Christ on this earth, even though Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world, they have this idea that, you know, some will be left behind because they're not ready the first time, and so God will give them a second chance. There's no do-over. In Hebrews it says, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this to face the judgment. It says Jesus came once, He will come again one more time in judgment. Be ready. Be watchful. Because the owner of the house can come, and if they're not ready, the door will be closed, He says in another parable. So, be ready. Be watchful. And we aren't the first ones who knew about this. Father of all believers, Abraham, he was supposed to be watchful too. And he had this problem, as I said before, reading the Old Testament lesson about marauding raiders and his own childlessness and the promise of God and all that. And what did the Lord do? He made the promise again. Not through your child from a servant, but from your own body. He said it again. He said, I am your shield and your very great reward. That's the Lord, your treasure. And then he took him out, you heard that, showed him the stars. Fun to do if you're camping up north where the city lights aren't there and you'd see those stars. And I don't know if you kids have ever done that, if you get to camp when you can actually look up, you know, outside the tent or whatever. And you look up and you just try it. Even if you have just a little section through the trees, you can't count the stars right in there. God knows them all by name. He created them, numbered them, keeps them all in their orbit. He says, keep watching. Because he who made the stars is coming again in judgment, and he can line everything up in perfect timing. He knows the exact moment, the exact second when that last trumpet will sound. Keep watching. Don't be caught unawares. Something will happen at that moment when he comes that you would never conceive of if Jesus did not tell you this himself. Isn't this absolutely amazing that he who created all things, the Lord of lords and the King of kings, whose righteousness is yours by faith, who washed away your sins with his holy precious blood, the crucified and risen one says, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. The way God looks at it, it's the greatest thing to serve. Serving is his greatest joy. And so Jesus, after that judgment day, when he brings his own into heaven by faith, will serve them, serve us, like the host at the banquet gets you seated and the waiter who brings it all out for you, the finest of meats and the finest of wines, he describes that. Such treasure there. Keep watching. Stay awake. Keep waiting for your Lord. You don't know the day that he will come. He said, be dressed and ready for service and keep your lamps burning. The oil of the Holy Spirit is the way it's pictured in the Bible. Some of you may realize why we have one candle on the altar nowadays. We call it the Christ candle. It's to remind you to keep your lamps burning. And the oil in that candle is reminding us of the Holy Spirit. But we used to try to keep two going. That's the typical custom. And either a wick was wrong or that the thing was running low or something like that. So we finally said, you know, this, after our remodel, this will just work better. I do remember one time when an usher forgot to take care of the candle and it was burning down. And what a lesson that became for us, you know. Give me oil in my lamp, keep it burning, burning, burning. Give me oil in my lamp today. And I was just singing that to him while he was in back filling up the candle after the service. But be rested, dressed and ready for service, he says, your lamp's burning. He literally is talking to men who wore robes, as few of us do these days. We still wear robes in our services. And I don't know if you've ever noticed, I try not to make it too obvious, but sometimes when I get up from the chair, it's actually hard not to walk up the inside of the robe. Ladies that wore long dresses at some time or other in your life, probably why they're not too popular, but I do have to, you know, gird up my loins a little bit. And the idea is that the men wearing robes would have to pull that robe up and tie it tight so that you're ready to run or serve or do whatever you need to do. That's what it means to gird up your loins in the old King James and get that belt on. Get ready. Because the Lord has given us this treasure that is meant for us not to keep to ourselves and not to keep a secret. If you were ever put on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? And if yes, what about those people around you that don't know your Lord Jesus and have this living water in them yet? Oh, Pastor, I don't know what to say. Give them a drop. Just a drop of that water in the Lord Jesus can make that turn into that artesian well in them. It is miraculous and awesome. Any of you that have raised kids in a Christian home, you know how this works. Where do they come up with these things, these statements of faith, when all you did was put in a drop? And it grows. This treasure is so awesome and wonderful that he gives it to you in increasing abundance. And he says the more you enjoy it by sharing, the more you'll enjoy it yourself. What other treasure increases as you give it away, grows bigger as you make more and more openness and less of a secret about it? Treasure seekers, you are rich beyond belief. Share the Lord Jesus Christ and enjoy him wholeheartedly in time until you see his smiling face in all eternity. Amen.